Good morning from London. It's 11 o'clock on Tuesday, March the 8th, 2022, International Women's Day. We're coming a slightly unusual time today, as opposed to usual 5 o'clock. And my guest today is Patricia Skujak, who is in the London area as well. And she and I met quite a number of years ago from a, if I remember correctly, a cold LinkedIn approach. On really saying, how do I, you know, I'd like some support in building my coaching business. And there I was 5,000 miles away, but involved with an international coaching business. And I went, sure, I'll talk to you. And then a while later, we met up in the hotel in Covent Garden, I seem to recall. And then from then we had a mentoring relationship for some time. But we've not actually spoken for quite some time, and we've not seen each other during the pandemic. And meanwhile, there is a lot has gone on with your coaching business, and I'm sure life in general. So I'm very pleased to see you and pleased to welcome you on the podcast. Hi.
Hi, Tom, and thank you for having me here. Honestly, I really appreciate the invitation, and it's always a pleasure to speak to you.
Likewise. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself, and where you are now, and then let's just talk about whatever is on your mind for today.
Lovely. So, Tom, you actually reminded me with that short introduction that we met probably around 2016, 2017, because that's when I started my coaching practice. Mm-hmm. In London, and that's exactly how it started. I began by reaching out to different people in the coaching industry, seeking for help, seeking for advice, seeking for some sort of ideas of how to best kick start my coaching career. Since then, I've been coaching full time, and in the past actually few years, what has changed? I moved more into group environments, and I've started designing workshops for corporations, businesses. Especially about around the power of mind. And talking about what's on my mind recently, it's really the topic of maximizing our potential of our brain. And a lot of my coaching approaches and methodologies is very much rooted in neuroscience. And I have also became a practitioner of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. And in fact, my very recent workshop that I've delivered recently in London, that's why I'm here, was on NLP, Introduction to NLP. And essentially the key area of focus there is how do we reprogram our cognitive, emotional, and behavioral faculties to better respond to life. And I believe actually even today, looking at what's happening around the world, I mean, starting from 2019, 2020, how do we best respond to situations, to life circumstances so that we remain mentally strong, we remain mentally strong for ourselves and for others, and we build that resilience, and a resilient mindset in life, which is so necessary. So, generally speaking, I see this incredible potential in all of us. It's possible. It's we talk about plasticity of our brain, the fact that we can change, and we can choose that respond. The question is, how do we commit to that? Do we want that? Because knowing that we can, the question is, do we want that? Often that, brings change, and naturally speaking, we are hardwired to run away from what's unfamiliar and what's different. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of my, another past mentee of mine and a past podcast guest is Vanessa Bennett, who's mm-hmm. based in Australia, and she's just done a master's in a linked field, and she talks about neuroplasticity quite a lot. Just the point you just went to is really critical, because do we want change? And there is in psychology, there's the Senninger model about comfort zone, stretch zone, panic zone. And in a physical stretching sense, my stretching teacher mm-hmm. years ago used to have group stretching sessions in weekday evenings. And she used to tell us to find the comfortable uncomfortable.
Wow.
If you're not stretching, you're not growing. Mm-hmm. But if you stretch too far, it's too much. You can't take it. if you're not, and it takes me to the mindset model of Carol Dweck. So, which Chip Conley, another past guest, talks about as the growth mindset is to improve, whereas the fixed mindset is to prove. So I do find this very interesting around human behavior and leadership, that if we're not looking, not all the time, it can be exhausting to always be growing and stretching. We can pause. But there is no growth without stretching.
Absolutely.
And if we don't want to, that's a choice. But if we, sometimes we then get thrown into it. We can have personal circumstances, business circumstances, and all of a sudden you have to me, far better to reprogram your cognitive, behavioral, and emotional faculties.
Mm-hmm.
Proactively rather than in response to external factors.
I love that. I love that, Tom. And I loved how you compared it to physical activity. It's like, it's totally comparable. Hmm. And you know, what I often say on that point of, you know, the comfort of the stretch, or the, sometimes I call it the voluntary discomfort, you know, because what it really takes is a specific strategy. I talk about tricking your mind, mm-hmm. essentially, as I said, about being hardwired to staying in the comfort zone. It's, you know, that's what we naturally would do. And mm-hmm. we have that voice within us that is responsible for survival,
right.
or linked to the fixed mindset than the growth mindset. And that part of the brain will do anything to keep us safe, to keep us comfortable, to keep us without the pain and without the stretch, without the discomfort in life. And so the way I approach to this work is to really have a conversation with this voice, to have an argument, to have a negotiation of some sort, you know. And the moment you normalize the stretch and you almost give yourself conscious permission, mm-hmm. to experience this stretch, the fear disappears suddenly. And there is no resistance. There is almost, you replace resistance with curiosity. If I give myself permission to be stretched, and I'm going to choose the level of the stretch, I'm going to choose the frequency of the stretch, I'm in control, and I know what it means to me. Hmm. Then the panic or the paralysis that actually happens when the survival voice starts speaking disappears, because we made an official contract in a way, or pact with that voice. But that takes generating another voice, which I often call the empowering voice within us, you know, the thriving part of the brain. You know, and often using that analogy, or even imaginary situations, or, you know, sometimes we call them guided visualizations around those voices, it makes it more real for the brain to detach yourself from those thoughts and be the observer, essentially, of what's going on internally.
Okay, so your focus, that's one of your areas of focus right now, is on the power of the mind and on that, if you will, reprogramming. And you're doing that in group settings or online courses, offline programs. How does that look?
So it's been, so far I've been doing it online throughout the pandemic. That's how I started, really. I only did one workshop in London before the pandemic started.
Right.
That kind of led me to dive deeper in and explore more workshops. So at the moment I have four on the agenda. So not only the power of mind and mental fitness, but also working on self-esteem, building the confidence muscle for both women and men. We approach it slightly differently, because I make a distinction between self-esteem and confidence. Perhaps that's for another talk, or you want to talk about it today? Happy to talk about
whatever
it.
Whatever you like.
Yeah. But yes, those courses that I'm now running for businesses mainly, they are group courses between 15 to 25 people. And and the plan, the desire is to turn them into online courses that will be accessible to general public.
So what's the What's the problem that you are offering a solution to?
You know, it's really based or depends on the level of awareness of the participant. Mm-hmm. So some of my courses really just touch the surface and perhaps ignite a sense of aha moment for some people, you know, just learning about the plasticity of the mind or the fact that the brain makes no distinction between what's imagined and what's real. Yeah. Often really, you know, really great foundation to start even practice of meditation or mindfulness for many, or even visualization. For some people, this is totally new, you know, and they need that kind of fresh take on this matter, which I personally believe is overcomplicated in the market in general. And I personally love to simplify things for people. It's very accessible. It can be very simple and it's doable. And as long as they see it or taste it or experience it as doable and manageable, then there is definitely more desire to actually start the work or do anything about it, really. For others, actually, this knowledge or knowledge on NLP, neuroscience, coaching, personal development is already there and they want to enhance, they want to go deeper. So I organize much more intimate groups for those who want to go deeper into their personal stories, whereby we share stories, but we, as I said, we kind of dive a little bit deeper and it gets a little bit more personal in those workshops or group coaching sessions. That are much smaller. So generally speaking, the workshops are to introduce participants to, to this knowledge and specific practices that literally you can take away with yourself straight after the workshop and start implementing. And yeah.
So what's the, that's useful. I'm putting it another way. If you're a business looking to run a workshop or if you're an individual looking to join an online group training, or coaching, what do they need to be aware of that their gap is, and therefore, what's the name of the course or the workshop? What's it? Mm-hmm. How do you position it, basically?
Sure, great question. So, I think a lot of people in businesses are realizing now that really a definition of success is often based on your approach to work, to projects, to relationships at work, and your attitude at work. You know, are you self-reliant? Are you creative? Do you trust yourself? You know, can you initiate a meeting or an idea or a project? Mm-hmm. Are you engaged, you know, in work? And that often is linked to your personality. So seeing that in employees, in people, in group environments at work, I noticed that especially L&D departments started to look at things from different perspective and really seek for opportunities to enhance specific personality traits in people, you know, and again, the idea that you can change. So the way I position, for example, my workshop on mental fitness is how do we enhance our resilient mindset, especially in difficult situations at work. You know, how do we train our brain to better handle specific situations at work, and how do we practice that mental resilience? Mainly, it's about mental resilience. NLP is a little bit more complex, and the way I position it is, you know, NLP actually helps us to navigate difficult conversations, difficult relationships, difficult situations in life, in at work. Mm-hmm. And we decode the default program of a person or maybe a group in response to difficult situations at work. Mm-hmm. And then we establish a potentially new programs that we could incorporate into our everyday life at work. So I hope that gave you an idea of
a sense of it. So if you're looking at mental fitness and resilience, what comes to mind to me is as often does, if I lift it up to a source level, is the work of Viktor Frankl, from the Austrian philosopher, really, and the concept of what he called logotherapy, which is our deep searches for meaning. But sitting within that is the idea of choice. Mm. And something you talked about earlier, is, you know, you talk when you use the analogy of physical stretching.
Mm-hmm.
You might not want to do that. You might, but if you feel you're in control, and if you feel you've made the choice, and how much do you stretch and how far do you stretch, then when we're in a place of choice, we're automatically going to be more resilient.
Absolutely. Right?
And his line, which I don't always get 100% right, is that the ultimate freedom is choice, and in our choice to how we respond to any external stimuli.
That's right. So looks it, about the, yeah.
So if you have a unexpected serious medical diagnosis, right, that will typically throw you into another model, the Kubler-Ross five stages of grief, pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You'll get angry, in denial, you'll get depressed, you'll bargain, no, it's not happening. But as soon as you get into a place of acceptance,
mm.
you go, okay, this is happening to me. It's my choice as to how I respond to it. And sometimes I'm going to feel angry and depressed, and other times I'm going to feel I'm in a position to choose my response and what am I going to do about it. And putting that in a less emotive space, in an area of business conflict or business challenge, if we're not in a place of, if we don't feel we're in a place of choice, then we're going to feel like we're in a box. We're not going to feel resilient. We're just going to feel under threat. We're going to be in a fear space.
Absolutely.
So when you've got it, when you at the top, what you talked about is, well, I'm not going to capture exactly what you said, but what I picked up was that if you run courses, workshops, you know, at different levels, people will all come there with a different level of awareness and understanding. But fundamentally, you're giving people tools and things, because one of your keywords is confidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you took a brave pill cold contacting a bunch of people around, hey, I'm just learning to coach, how do I do this? And what, quite a number of years later, you've been thriving at it and really focused on it for years. But to me at that point, and knowing you quite well then, was there was a, I'm going to choose to be confident, now what do I do? Right?
Yeah.
And so as opposed to, so that's a projecting that choice. And then what, then backfilling with tools and skills and experience. Not everybody's going to be in a position to do that. Some of them, or they're not going to feel they can do that. Others need the tools.
Mm-hmm.
So effectively that's what you're offering to people is you have an understanding of what does it take as a human to be more mentally resilient, and then giving them at different levels, either just a basic understanding of what tools are out there in a workshop mm-hmm. or in a program or a course. Some real tools they can deploy, which then creates, I guess, a virtuous circle of confidence.
Correct. Absolutely. And I love the analogy of a cycle or a circle, because that's what it takes. Mm. Behavioral change or mental cognitive change won't happen without repetition. Mm-hmm. So for me to become confident right at the beginning, it didn't take only reaching out to the first 100 people, let's say, and do it once. You know, it was a repetition of events, and I couldn't really stop at that point. And for me, I created, talking about confidence, this cycle of courage. Yeah, you have the choice of being courageous and reach out and face the potential rejection and still reach out regardless of the answer or the outcome. Courage breeds, so with courage, you take on the challenge. With the challenge, you build more courage. So it's literally like a cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment you step out of the cycle, you lose the grip of it and you stop building and expanding that muscle. So and that's never ending, process, by the way. I have to say that I lost quite a lot of confidence during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And simply because I stopped practicing my muscle of building confidence. It's a work in progress and it's never ending end product, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that I personally abolish are, you know, anything to do with fixed anything, you know, Tom. So we were not, you know, some people think that others are born with confidence and others are not, right? So that's already, to me, it's very untrue. You know, this is something that we can create, we can enhance, and we can also lose in life if we don't work on it. And it's the same with resilient mindset or any positive, empowering attitude in life. You can have it at times. Maybe you've touched it somewhere, you know, and you didn't know how and when. But you felt it and experienced it. You can repeat it. You can, you have that choice, as Viktor Frankl beautifully, you brought, you know, one of the key, personalities I bring on my workshop. He talks about the space between the stimulus and response.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Right. And in that space, he says, lies our freedom to choose. And in that freedom, it's our growth, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
How we will choose that response. So this is a 50% success, just that realization that, yes, we have the choice. The other 50% is to keep committed to the right choice or the choice that we, mm-hmm. you know, we made.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for reminding us of that piece, because if people listen to this and take that away and they don't do anything else, is there a reminder that between stimulus and response, there is a space, and in that space lies our power to choose. Because one of the things, and you and I have done a lot of coaching, and one of the things that you'll often have people when they're at a point of stress, they'll say, I don't have a choice. Like, one of my favorite ones is when people say, I really want to quit my job, but I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a choice. And mm-hmm. they'll talk about some extremely rational and real things, like, I need to pay the bills. I've got, what? You know, I have to do this. And I'll say, well, you do have a choice. It's simply that every choice has consequences.
Yeah.
You always have a choice. You could quit your job today, but every choice has consequences. It's also very reassuring for anybody, you know, seeing you, listening to you, will see that you are extremely able and confident, and, you know, I've been building your career and supporting a lot of people. And it's also great to have that presence and humility to say, and I too, it's a cycle that needs to keep being reinforced. But I like to look at this idea of a virtuous circle, or as Jim Collins calls it, a righteous flywheel. But I like to imagine that it's not two-dimensional, it's facing you. Mm-hmm. But you then imagine you tilt it down and lay it flat on the table.
Mm-hmm.
But think of it as a spiral that goes upwards out of sight. So, you know, you won't mind me sharing this, but the way you, I remember now thinking back about what 8 years, you're telling mm-hmm. me that, you know, you showed up as an overseas student in London to matriculate for university, age mm-hmm. what, 18, and there's everybody in the lines for these different courses, and you got a place at a certain course, and then you saw a line for another course, and you went, what's that course? And they went, well, and it was one, oh, I quite like the sound of that one. And you literally just joined another line and did a different course.
Yes, my education path, just like that, in the split of a second.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a significant choice. But then, you know, there are all of these choice points.
Mm-hmm.
And we always have a choice.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If people take that away, just there's always a choice.
Yes. And you know, and Tom, and I'm so pleased you remember that, honestly impressive memory there about that line change situation. Yeah, back in the day, 2008, I believe that was. What else we may have to realize, or just, you know, accept or acknowledge, is that we have those default responses, yeah. you know? So it's fair sometimes to say, I can't.
Yeah.
Do anything else, or I don't see any other way. It's okay to acknowledge that
mm-hmm.
because that's what we are used to. So it's only fair to say that we don't see anything else. But at the same time, what I always encourage people is to observe those words that you're using, observe those thoughts that you generate, observe the feelings that you're used to that maybe don't serve you. Mm-hmm. Because the moment we step into another perspective, and I literally use this analogy of sitting next to yourself mm-hmm. in the moment of stress, for example, or in the moment of choice.
Mm-hmm.
Just observe, be the observer, be the investigator, and just notice what's there, because that's when you allow your brain to mm-hmm. potentially see, yes, there is a choice. There is another way. There is another route I could take. So often, you know, questioning those statements like I can't, or I want, or I should, or I shouldn't, it's all it takes is to question yourself and ask yourself, but who says? According to who? And mm-hmm. why not? And what would happen if I did?
Mm-hmm.
That's all it takes to create a sense of possibility, open up a space for a challenge, you know, for a new perspective. And again, without any commitment, all you have to do is to gently, you know, sometimes we need to be gentle with those, with that fixed elements of our mindset, because it's going to activate fears mm-hmm. and then emotional responses that essentially put us in a space that is not a great space to change, right? It's rather, we feel stuck, or we feel, you know, in panic, or we even have physical responses to it. So we need to be gentle.
Yes, we could be paralyzed or panicked if we push ourselves too much. I think what links in here, without getting into what NLP is about in any depth, mm-hmm. if I radically simplify it, it's a big part of NLP is just awareness of the language we use.
Yeah.
And if anybody now reflects on listening to us for the last 25 minutes, we both use almost universally positive language patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So when it can be simply, if somebody is in a position where they go, I hate my job, there's all this conflict here, I can't handle it, I don't want to be here, but I have no choice, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And all of that language is going to put them in a slightly frozen space.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, and if they can start to look at it, sit alongside themselves or with a coach and just go, okay, what are my choices here?
Mm-hmm.
Right, what choices do I have? And the choice mm-hmm. might actually be, well, I will continue in this employment. And how can I make, and I will need to do that for a year or two. And what other choices can I make around that? How can I choose to relate to it? Where are the learning opportunities in here?
Mm-hmm.
Where can I seek to grow in this? What can I be doing outside this to support myself? And the actual facts of their situation may change little or not at all,
yes.
but their relationship to it,
yeah.
also empowered by the tool of their language patterns, and you'll have noticed my language pattern changed on the second half of that conversation,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. is much more about empowerment. And, you know, also you mentioned self-esteem, which, you know, unfortunately is an issue for no matter the gender we are,
mm-hmm.
It's often a more significant issue for women. It's the way society is constructed,
mm-hmm.
has been constructed. So the positive for that is the opportunity for shift is even greater. So if we can feel in control, in a place of choice, empowered, then automatically our self-esteem rises, our confidence rises. So, yeah, absolutely. So basically, there is the level at the one hand of just higher level tools to help people understand they have choice.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, okay, I've got that. Now mm-hmm. what can I do with that? So you look at it from both levels, depending upon the audience, the individual, the group,
Yeah, absolutely. And then the journey to then work on yourself also needs to be tailored to your own level of maybe even self-esteem, right? Or the self-image that you hold on yourself will impact or somehow direct how you want to approach that change. And again, you know, the classic mistake everyone is making is setting way too high expectations. And it's a classic recipe for failure. Mm-hmm. Because by losing that motivation and not reaching your desired states, you know, in the time that you envisioned for yourself, you just kick yourself in your back. And that doesn't give you motivation. I always say that we need to make small steps, but steps that are big enough to matter and small enough to be achieved.
Yeah.
So that's a strategy, you know? So mm-hmm. you feel the progress and you are on the journey to change. You are repeating certain acts of behaviors. But you're not setting too high expectations and expect a failure, really.
that, yes, some people take huge leaps all the time and it works for them. You're right. I mean, most of my work is with leaders of large organizations now. But if they go, one of my analogies is never be more than one hilltop ahead of the people. So imagine there's you're leading an army on foot and you're on horseback. If you ride too far ahead of them, they've lost sight of you. If your vision is too disconnected from them, they're never going to follow you. So on an individual level, if you lose connection to what if people turn around to me and go, I want $1 million in 2 years, and say, so how much have you got right now? And they say 10,000, and you go, right, okay, it's not real. But yes, the SMART goals is another term. But the simple thing is you talk about the circle of confidence challenge. And you can take that in lots and lots of small steps. My friend Alex Barker, yet another podcast guest, who leads the Be More Pirate community. They often work with people within organizations who want to act more like pirates. They want to be more rebellious. And that very much links into, I think, some of the reasons why core companies could come to you. Because they want people not to be stuck in behaviors or patterns. They want them to be more mentally resilient, but then what, right? Well, are they going to collaborate? Are they going to bring forward new ideas that feel a bit brave and they need confidence and self-esteem to do them? But Alex will talk about small acts, right? Because, if people wait until they can make a really big change, they might feel really stuck. But can you make a small act?
Yeah.
And then you get into the sort of community side of it and the culture. And keep thinking about past guests. John Alexander, the author of Citizens, was on recently. And he just talks, what's it mean to be a citizen? Just once we have all those small acts, and I didn't intend to do this, and this is, We're talking about this, and you're originally from Poland, and right, you've had 1 million refugees come in from Ukraine, and I know you're in England right now, but what we're seeing live in front of us all the time is many, many small acts of bravery.
Yeah.
Right. But collectively they make a huge difference. So we by focusing on ourselves. And all the things you're talking about, and the awareness we have a choice, that we can then build tools and skills that can spin that flywheel of confidence and challenge and confidence and challenge. We can also make a huge difference for other people by being part of something collective. So.
Beautifully, yeah. Noted, Tom. Absolutely, yes. Couldn't agree more, to be honest with you. And that also brings us back to the present moment as well, to really focus on those small acts here and now. Because often we're too much driven by what's there, what's ahead, what we want, the vision, and we lose the grip of the present. And those small acts actually bring us back to the now.
Yeah. And I've had a practice of writing every single day for well over 4 years now. On my blog, and I stopped it a week or two ago because I thought nobody wants to hear it. I certainly wasn't going to post anything on LinkedIn. Nobody wants to hear anybody's opinion while there's a war in Europe. But I paused and I thought, no, I'm going to start again. I just did, like, effective this morning. I started with something, and I thought, because actually life does go on, and we have a choice to our response. We keep looking to add value where we can to the world. And with this conversation, if we reach a few people from this and they take a few things on board, that's what, life is about. Doing our work, confidently stepping forward, embracing challenges. And, as the Stoic phrase would go, this too shall pass.
Pantare as well, right? Everything flows. You will. Yeah, absolutely.
So let me, I've taken over a little bit in summarizing, but let me, it's great to hear from you, and let me, as I like to do, allow you to sort of pull things together and my guest have the last word.
Yeah, well, again, thank you for having me here for this opportunity. I want to go back to our freedom to choose our response to events, and even bringing the current events that are happening in Europe, in the world. And we've been bombarded with, you know, recent events just after the pandemic, and even still. I want to encourage everyone to ask themselves, you know, what's the response that you can choose to what's happening around, and what's the response that will help you, will help others around you? What will be the choice you want to make, and what do you want to make of, you know, what's happening in the world?
Perfect.
Open question for everyone.
If you want to learn more about you, where can they find you?
Just go to my website or my LinkedIn.
remind me what your website is.
www.patricia, English spelling, Skurzak, Skurzak, my wonderful surname.com.
Perfect. It's been an absolute pleasure to reconnect to you and to learn from you today.
Thank you, Tom.